أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. We were discussing a hadith from Sayyid al-Shuhada Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam, who said, أيها الناس إن الله جل ذكره ما خلق العباد إلا ليعرفوه فإذا عرفوه عبدوه فإذا عبدوه استغنوا عن عبادته استغنوا بعبادته عن عبادة من سواه. Allah has not created man but to worship him, but to know him, and when they know him they worship him, and then when they worship him they will become needless of worshipping anyone beside him. Last night we talked about the different levels of Ma'rifatullah, the faculty which is installed in human beings, in jinn, in angels. And actually, there is that faculty in everything. We do not know it. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُ. Everything in this world have their ways of glorification of God. We don't know. When it says they have their ways of glorification, means they have their own faculties to know God. We don't know it. But we are not talking about ourselves. I said that according to what we understand from the Quran, the capacity of this ma'rifah for human beings is more than what is in jinn. Because jinn, according to what we understand, have no capacity to receive scriptures, although they can become high mu'minun, very top faithful in their iman. They can be of muqarrabun, but they cannot receive a scripture, and that's why they follow scriptures which are revealed to human beings. And the Quran describes two sets of, or two tribes of jinn, which apparently one of them were Christians and the other were Jews. That means not Jews in terms of racial Jew, as they take Judaism as racial sort of section of human being nowadays. They were following the scripture of Jesus, of Moses alayhi wasalam. And this is what is the tribe of jinn which are mentioned in Surah Al-Ahqaf. They said, Ya qawmana inna sami'na kitaban unzila min ba'di Musa. They didn't know of the book which was revealed to Isa alayhi salam. We have heard a book revealed after Musa, Yahdi ila al-haq wa ila tariqin mustaqim. It guides to haq and to the right path. And then they called their own people of jinn. I don't know whether it is correct to use people for jinn or not. They called their own people of jinn, Ya qawmana ajibu da'i Allah. Come and respond to this man who calls to God. Respond to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you do so, Allah will forgive your sins. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ. In Surah Jinn, the type of description shows that these jinn believed in Son for God. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. Say that it was revealed to me that without me knowing it, a group of jinn were listening to my recitation. And when they listened, they said, They went to their people and they said, "Inna sami'na Qur'anan ajaba." A very amazing recitation we have heard. And we have understood that our belief is wrong. وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبَّنَا مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدَى. Our Lord is above what we think. He has not taken a wife and he doesn't have a son. So this shows that they were some sort of deviated from the right path, and they listened to the Quran and they went back to their people. And as this, in Surah Jin, it is described, it's very breathtaking the way the jinn came to listen. They called each other, "Come, come, come, listen." And when the Prophet was reciting Salatul Layl in a mosque, and of course he was unaware that the jinn were listening, and when in the course of his recitation they called each other and they came and came and came, and then the verse says, وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَتْؤُهُ. When he stood for Salatul Fajr, the jinn were climbing each other to listen. كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدَى. They were just climbing each other to listen. So, what I was saying is that the type of faculty which is in human being is higher for that knowledge. Not that every human individual is above every human jinn. Some human individual are even below animals. We are not talking about individuals. We are talking about faculties. The faculty which is in human being, in certain respects, like rational understanding, like knowledge of talking, is above certain animals, of course. But that doesn't mean that every individual is like that. And with regards to spirituality, is the same. Now, when we come to angels, well, the Quran tells us that the faculty in human being is above the faculty of angels. But again, that doesn't mean that every human individual has a higher knowledge or can reach that higher knowledge. And that doesn't mean that at every stage of their lives, human individuals are above the angels in their knowledge. Certainly when a prophet is born, when they are a child, their knowledge is not above the knowledge of angels. But they have a faculty installed in them that they can gain knowledge which goes beyond the knowledge of the angels of God. Of course, we cannot estimate at all what type of knowledge the angels have about God. Remember, we are not talking about knowledge of God's creation. That's different. We are talking about knowledge of God himself. The knowledge which God gives to individuals by which they know him, not his creation. Not his creation. And some people have this ilm, this knowledge. This is what Quran calls ilm. Other things are just fadl, so to speak. An addition. But ilm is this. Shahidallah. Look at this verse. This is verse number 18 of Surah Ali Imran. And when you recite this verse, you can imagine what status these people who have that knowledge, who receive the, by their faculty, they receive that knowledge, what status they have. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. Allah witnesses. Witnesses means Allah is seeing, he has the knowledge that there is no ilah but him. Ilah is different from God. Ilah is something which attracts. This ilah attracts our attention and calls for our humbleness. This is ilah. There is nothing in this world that can do that. Annahu la ilaha illahu. When we say shahidallah, does it mean that morning and evening, like us, Allah says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah"? No, of course it's not. He is witnessing this. This is a knowledge, of course, which no one has. No one. But then, to a lower level, the angels have this. والملائكة. And the angels can witness this, that there is no Allah in this world but Allah. They can witness it as well. And above that, وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ, and those who are given knowledge. This knowledge which pertains to God Himself. Now, in the Quran, very famously, of course, all of us know, Allah, when He created Adam, He asked the angels to prostrate before Him. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ أُسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. And this sajda means to humble oneself, because the angels do not have bodies like us to put their heads down. It means to humble yourself. Confess that you have to serve this. Now, the angels themselves were confused. Of course, Shaitan used that confusion for his own istikbar. But it was not only Shaitan who was not knowing why. The angels didn't know as well. Why? Allah said, I want to place this as my khalifa, as my vicegerent, regent on the earth. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفَكُ الدِّمَاءَ. Is this the type of creature that we have seen before? Probably. Sheds blood, kills. There's no humane thing in the creatures who were before Adam, probably, who were like him in physically, but of course not in full creation. Or they said that because this is having a physical body like animals, he would act like animals. They didn't know. And when the order came and when Allah informed them, they were actually talking among themselves. What is happening? It means that angels are intelligent beings. They have questions as well. They ask questions from God. And God, with His ultimate mercy, gives them what they ask, responds to them. مَا كَانَ لِي in Surah Sa'd, مَا كَانَ لِي مِنْ عِلْمٍ بِالْمَلَأِ الْأَعْلَىٰ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ. I don't have knowledge of the beginning of creation when the مَلَأُ الْأَعْلَىٰ, the angels of the highest rank, they were disputing among themselves. But I have given the knowledge that what Allah said to them and what they did. إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ تِنْ. I have been given that knowledge. Allah has revealed it to me. But what goes beyond this, I have no knowledge of that. مَا كَانَ لِي مِنْ عِلْمٍ بِالْمَلَأِ الْأَعْلَىٰ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ. Now, why they were amazed? Because, well, they had lots of knowledge. They were very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah informed them. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. He taught Adam all the names. The names of whom? His own names. All the names. That means there is nothing of the names of Allah that human being cannot know. It is very amazing, huge thing Allah has given us. And look how we just spend ourselves for petty things. It's amazing, it's remorseful how we spend ourselves for petty things in this world. There is nothing about names of Allah that human being cannot know. Because it says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا, all the names. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And then he exposed something of those names to the angels. فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءَ هَؤُلَاءِ. You tell me what you know about these names. You tell me. Well, their knowledge was limited. They had lots of knowledge, huge knowledge, but it was limited. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. We have no knowledge what you have taught us. قَالَ يَا آدَمْ أنبئهم بأسمائهم. Now you tell them Adam, and Adam started to teach the angels about the names of Allah. Amazing. This newly formed creature started to inform the angels about those names. We have a hadith from Aima alayhi salam that sometimes we take it to be ghulaw, but not every hadith which seems to be ghulaw, exaggeration, is exaggeration. We have to understand its meaning. Now here, if Adam says Subhanallah with that knowledge of all names, actually the angels learn what is the meaning of Subhanallah with the knowledge of Adam alayhi salam. And this is the hadith that A'im alayhi salam say that we, it may be we individually, it may be we as a status, we said Subhanallah and the angels learned the meaning of Subhanallah. We said Alhamdulillah and the angels learned the meaning of Alhamdulillah. We said Allahu Akbar and the angels said Allahu Akbar. This is what Quran is implying, isn't it? That قُلْنَا يَا آدَمْ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. You teach them, you tell them what are these names. Weren't the angels aware of it? They were aware of it, but they were not aware of the depth of it. They were not aware of the depth of it. The depth was taught to Adam. Who are we, Ya Allah? Who are we? Who are we? What sort of creatures are we? And how we despise ourselves. How we despise ourselves. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسَرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They have lost their souls. The soul which Allah has given us, we lose it. We lose it. Now, what is the meaning of ibadah? Because we want to talk about the relationship between ma'rifah and ibadah. What is the meaning of ibadah? And how ma'rifah would lead to ibadah and ibadah would lead to ma'rifah? Or which one would lead to which? Up till now, we have relatively understood the meaning of ma'rifah. Ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing his names. His essence, of course, no one can know. Ya man la ya'lamu ma huwa illa hu. Oh, the one who no one knows what is he but he himself. This is his essence. But then, when the essence manifests itself in asma, we know. Not that we know it, of course, we don't. Potentially, we can know it. If God has mercy, give us the grace, we can know it. And some servants of God, they know it. Now, what is ibadah? Ibadah and ubudiyah. Ibadah is stronger than ubudiyah. Ibadah and ubudiyah means when you confess your servitude. Because abd means servant, isn't it? That is when you humble yourself to someone or something, you have worshipped that thing. This is the meaning of ibadah. If you listen to someone in the sense that you obey, you listen in the sense that you obey, you have humbled yourself to that person. It's clear. If someone tells you do something, if your parents tell you do something, if you don't do, you are arrogant. If you humble yourself, you do it. If you ask something from someone, you have humbled yourself, isn't it? That's why we have ad-du'a, mukhul ibadah. Du'a, supplication, asking things from God is the very essence of ibadah, of humbleness. Because you humble yourself before God. I don't know whether you have ever thought the way you ask things from God. Do you ask it from anyone else? The way you humble yourself when you ask and cry. Do you do it before anyone else? If you do it, you are mushrik. We do not humble ourselves before anyone in this way that we ask God, but before Him. So anything which humbles a person, any act, and that's why is sometimes equated with obedience, because obedience is when you humble yourself to someone, so whatever they say you do is obedience. أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ Did I not take the pledge from you, Bani Adam, that you should not worship Shaitan? How do you worship Shaitan? We listen to him, to his whispers. And that means we humble ourselves towards him. So, any act that we do with the intention that we humble ourselves before God, this is ibadah. So it's not only Salat or Saum or Hajj, anything in our life that we do. Therefore, everything that we do in our life can be Ibadah. If we do it with the intention of humbling ourselves before God. Now, what's that humbling do with Ma'rifah? Ma'rifatullah. Let me first tell you a story from the Quran and then come back to it. Maybe I'll just tell the story and then come back to it tomorrow night. Inshallah. You know when Iblis disobeyed God, when Allah asked him, why did you not prostrate? قال يا إبليس ما منعك أن تسجد What did prevent you that you did not prostrate? This foolish creature, he didn't say, of course he couldn't say this. He didn't say that because I am more knowledgeable than Adam. He didn't say because I have more merits than Adam. He didn't have. If Jibreel didn't have more merits, what about Iblis? What he said, he brought a very foolish and stupid argument before Allah that if we were there, we would have laughed at him. قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنَّهِ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينٍ Because he didn't have any other thing to say. He said, you have created me out of fire and you have created him out of dust, clay. Well, who says fire is better than clay, first of all? And then, why do you go back to the origin of creation? Look what Allah has given after that. That means Shaitan, although he's very clever, he's very stupid. And if you want to be very smart and clever in the face of God, then Allah will make you to appear stupid before everyone. And this is what has made to Iblis. And this is why Amirul Mu'minin says that the leader of all racists is Iblis. فَأَدُوُّ اللَّهِ إِمَامُ الْمُتَعَسَّبِينَ وَسَلَفُ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ إِمَامُ الْمُتَعَسَّبِينَ who تَعَسَّبَ لَأَسْلِحِ who talked about his origin of race, the first creation who talked about his origin as race was Iblis. تَعَسَّبَ لَأَسْلِحِ which is a very foolish thing. Now, what I want to emphasize here, he said, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ I am better. He looked at himself. As soon as he looked at himself, that means he did not humble himself before God. When you look at yourself, you cannot humble yourself because you see lots of qualities in yourself. Well, look at my knowledge, look at my education, look at my a family, look at my such and such, and then you somehow become deceived by what you have. You look at yourself. When you look at yourself, what is your size in this creation? What is your size? What is Jibreel's size? What is Mikael's size? What is the whole creation size? It's nothing. So, as soon as he looked at himself, Allah said, قَالَ اهْبِطْ مِنْهَا فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا He said, go down from my neighborhood, from my vicinity, go down. You cannot have takabbur here. فَخْرُجْ innaka min as-sagirin. Now you are very small. Here is the place where big creations, big beings, huge beings like Jibreel and Mikael, the angels, they are worshipping me here. You look at yourself, you are so small, you fall. You have no weight. You fall. Why? You see, when we look at God and humble, this is the meaning of humbling ourselves, looking at Him all the time. When we look at Him, we expand. It's just like, for example, when you take a very, very small piece of glass and want to look from that piece what is around you, you can see very small fragments of things around you. But if you take a big mirror, you turn it around, you see much more. Now, when we look at ourselves, we are so small, we have no capacity at all. But when we look at Him and humble ourselves before Him, and the meaning of looking at Him is to humble ourselves, then we expand, we become very big, very huge. And it is only thence that ma'rifah comes in. That ma'rifah comes in. This is the relationship between ubudiyyah and ma'rifah. The real meaning of ubudiyyah, you humble yourself. Okay, now we expand on this inshallah tomorrow night. I want to now mention one anecdote from the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It is reported that, this is reported by Ibn Rajah, Ismail Ibn Rajah. He said that I was sitting in Masjid al-Nabi alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with me was sitting Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the very respectable companion of the Prophet, and another companion of the Prophet, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Abdullah, the son of Amr ibn al-As, of course, all of you know. We Shias, of course, know for our criticism, are known for our criticism for two, especially two of the companions of the Prophet, for Muawiyah and Amr ibn As. And we do not shy from, we are not shy from it, because they fought against Ali ibn Abi Talib, they fought against the rightful caliph. Well, we criticize them. However, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As was a scholar, a faqih, a muhaddith, very respectful man. Despite that, in Siffin, he was on the side of his father and Muawiyah. Now, it's interesting to tell you, because sometimes we are told that you are against the companions of the Prophet. This is a myth. This is a myth. Because companions of the Prophets, although some of them, we blame them for some wrongdoings or mistakes, they were not ma'asum. Anyone who says that they were ma'asum, they have mistaken their theology. However, the bulk of Muhajirun and Ansar, the bulk of Muhajirun and Ansar, whoever despises them or not respect them has not respected the Prophet, peace be on him. The bulk of Muhajir and Ansar. And it is interesting to know that in Siffin, as it's reported by Ibn Abi al-Hadid, only four or five companions of the Prophet were on the side of Muawiyah. Three of them were Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As and his son and a couple of others. And 18,000 were on the side of Ali, peace be on him, of Muhajirun and Ansar. As Amir al-Mu'minin wrote to Muawiyah that if you do not comply, I will come to you fi jahfalim min al-muhajirin wal-ansar, in a big army of muhajirin and ansar. And this was the case, of course. Now, coming back to that anecdote, Ibn Rajah says that we were sitting and then Husayn ibn Ali, peace be on him, passed by. And when he was passing by, he greeted us. He said, "Assalamu alaykum." And all of us responded, except Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. But after he turned and went, he went a bit afar, Imam Husayn alayhi salam, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said, "Wa alayka as-salam." We were amazed why he did not respond when he was passing. When he went afar, he responded. He said, "Ala ukhbirukum bi ahab ahli al-ard ila ahli as-sama." Should I not inform you of a person who's the most loved inhabitant of the earth by the inhabitants of heaven? Inhabitants of heaven mean angels. Someone on the earth who's most loved by the angels, the most loved by the angels. Do I not inform you? We said, "Yes, inform us." He said, "This is this man who just went passed by." We were amazed. Abdullah ibn Amr al-As saying this. We said, "So why did you not respond to his salam when he greeted you?" He said, "You know, since Safin, he doesn't talk to me. Since Safin, because I was fighting on the other side with Ali ibn Abi Talib, against Ali ibn Abi Talib. Since Safin, he doesn't talk to me. And God knows there is nothing more valuable to me in this world than Husayn ibn Ali being pleased with me again. We talk again." Abu Sa'id al-Khudri says that I told him, "Okay, why don't you go and tell him?" He was a bit shy. He said, "Do you want me to go and talk to him? You come and tell him." He said, "Yes." And then Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said and talked to Imam Husayn alayhi salam, and they went together. And he says, when we sat down, I said to Abdullah ibn Amr al-As, "Tell Husayn ibn Ali what you told us." He said, "Yes, I told them that you are the most loved person on the earth by inhabitants of heaven." Imam Ali Salam said, "If you know this, why did you fight against me and my father who was better than me in Safin?" He said, this is very interesting, Abdullah ibn Amr was, as I said, he was a scholar. He was a muhaddith of hadith of the Prophet. He was a faqih. He said, "You know, I tell you, I did not increase their number because I stood at the back. I did not sharpen any sword for them. I did not throw any arrow. I did not take any spear. But my father commanded me that I have to be on that side. And I was on that side because I have heard that we have to obey our parents. Imam alayhi salam said that, "But haven't you read in the Quran, 'وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا'? If they call you to shirk, and what shirk? This is what I add. What shirk above fighting, even if you do not believe in the merits and Imam of Ali ibn Abi Talib, he was the rightful caliph. You shouldn't fight against the rightful caliph. So if they call you to shirk, you should not obey them. Haven't you heard the Prophet saying, 'La ta'ata illa fil ma'roof'? Haven't you heard that 'La ta'ata li makhluqin fi sakhat al khaliq'? You should not obey a makhluq while that would bring the wrath of God." He said, "It is as if I had not heard these things before. It's as if I am hearing it now." It's very sad if this is the state of the ummah now, at that point, when they are أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Some part of the book you take, you emphasize, you make it important, and other parts of the book, You just throw, you do not follow. And look in Karbala what happened. They were doing Salatul Jama'ah and they were thinking that they are fighting Hussein alayhi salam for thawab. I don't know whether they were rightful or really thinking of that, but this is what they were saying. Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam told them, have you not heard from the Prophet in Karbala? Have you not heard the Prophet that me and my brother and me, are Sayyida Shabab Ahl al-Jannah? We are the masters of the youth of paradise. If you think I lie in this, that Prophet said this, go and ask his companions, go and ask Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, go and ask Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi, go and ask Zayd ibn Arqam, those companions who were still alive at that time, ask them if they heard the Prophet saying about my brother and me, that we are masters of the youth of paradise. Well, they were quiet. They said, just do what the Amir says, and we wouldn't fight you. Then he said, if you doubt whatever I say, you think that I'm a liar or whatever, if you doubt whatever I say, do you doubt that I am the grandson of the Prophet? Is this something that could be doubted about? That there is no grandson of the Prophet except me in Muslim lands. Do you still doubt that? What they did? Not only they killed him, they killed him thirsty. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ.